Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, well, it'll be on mine. As the show was closing last night, we were talking about Joe Redner. Eric from Minneapolis called and was waxing sentimental about Dale Mabry Boulevard. Yeah, and not for its constant traffic tie-ups, which it does have, actually. Rather, its constant strip clubs. And we got on the subject of Mons Venus, and he said, "You remember who owned that?" I said, "Yeah, Joe Redner." And I had a great story to tell you about Joe Redner that involves the court system, actually, and tells you all you need to know. And so I said, I'll open the show with that tomorrow, which is now, and I haven't forgotten. All right, so Joe is, and he's still alive, he's in his mid-80s. He's about as colorful as it gets, originally from New Jersey, but went to Florida fairly early on and did a number of things. He's known as the father of the nude lap dance, but that's not only. He's a sometime political candidate, a businessman, an activist, and on and on. And needless to say, he's been engaged in his share of legal battles with the city of Tampa, the city council, which has been trying to place restrictions on strip club for the last, say, 50 years. And so he's filed a number of suits. Some of them have reached the Supreme Court, become case law in many cases. But the one that I wanted to share with you goes back to 2005, when he got $7 million from the Florida Department of Transportation. What happened was the Florida Department of Transportation seized one of his properties for eminent domain because they wanted to construct a freeway. Now, as you know, the Supreme Court has a very loose definition of what can be acceptable for eminent domain, and it's far too many things to say the least. Well, this one never made it to the Supreme Court. It made it to the Florida courts, where the Department of Transportation argued that his property value was $3 million, take it or leave it. No, the jury determined that its highest and best use, you'll love this, was as an adult entertainment facility. And as such, it is more valuable than typical commercial properties they awarded him $7 million for it. Now, he didn't stop there, by the way, but I love that. You know, that's precedent. Now, highest and best use can be as a strip club, and in this case, more than doubled the value of it that they took for eminent domain. It wasn't Mons Venus. It was one of his other properties. But the interesting thing, speaking of Mons Venus, same thing, 2005, he filed a federal lawsuit against Hillsborough County, which is Tampa, because they banned the county from recognizing gay pride displays. Now, the county filed a motion to have the case dismissed for lack of standing. And if you're politically motivated, lack of standing is something you hear all the time. Someone trying to file against Clinton or Obama or whatever, and they say you have a lack of standing. You've probably heard that many times. Well, so, all right, he's filing because he doesn't like that the city is not recognizing gay pride displays. He needs standing. So what does he do? By the way, he's a father and married a couple times and all that. he said, "Oh no, I have standing. I am gay." And he put that in writing. And so it was that they said, "Well, I guess he is standing." And he next year ran for county commissioner, did not did not win, but created some great TV, had a chair thrown at him in a debate with a Republican. And it was on 300 TV stations, actually. That clip anyway, which gave him a lot in terms of name recognition. And there it is. So on and on, as far as that goes, Joe Redner. Yes, I know who he is, but I just love that. The highest and best use is as a strip club. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Ruth is in Gurnee. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, well. Thank you for taking the call, but I have to follow that. Any other time, I have to wait until the phone falls out of my hand, and I can't no longer sit up. So tonight, I get right up there at the head of the list. Well, floodwaters visited Gurnee.
Yes, on April, by the way, April 19th, an infamous day in history.
Tell us why.
Oh, several things. Battle of Lexington and Concord started on April 19th. The Waco siege started on April 19th. The Oklahoma City bombing was April 19th. April 19th. I could go on and on.
Well, okay, we washed that out. So the floodwaters came, and of course, I had mentioned to you some weeks ago that I had been disconnected from the measly 5 hours for caregiver assistance that I'd been on for over 12 years.
Yes.
Because they wanted my birth certificate. Okay. I called Chicago, left messages, pushed buttons one after another, no return calls, no finding out anything about getting that document. So, okay, it's okay. I doubt I'm going to go down there to get it, but I'll still put that, you know, on my bucket list for whatever. So along comes my March 20th date for my measly 5 hours a week, and it's all in one day because it has to fall in the calendar week between those 7 days. I have to take that measly 5 hours, and that was the day, was the March 20th. So the next time somebody comes by, it is 4 days after the flood.
Okay.
And they just stop in for a few minutes, and they said, your kitchen is flooded. All right, I get a hold of maintenance 5 minutes before they're going to leave, and they come over, and they take a look and stay a few minutes and come back the next day and do several hours with the adjacent apartment, for that was all backed up and flooded also. So then another person comes by a couple days later, and the flood is still there. It's come down other places. And so now they come, and they really have to do all the same thing at my location with all the pipes and plumbing and the walls and the cleaning and the mopping and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
However, I find out by the management that they have a copy of my birth certificate.
Really? Oh, that's great.
And so, okay, now wait. This, the plot thickens. So I go, okay, I've never seen my birth certificate. I've never asked for a copy. I've never gone to that location for any document that would be there within the city of Chicago. Courthouse, Lake County, yes. Which I might add, the Lake County Courthouse is really, really incredibly fortunate with their helping any way that they can. But I'm looking for another county. So I just leave it be, and that's it. I remember getting a letter from Illinois that I could, this goes back 4 or 5 years ago, get a voucher to hire a person, and I would get the money that usually goes to an agency who hires caregiver people. I could get that myself, and I go, well, I don't know about all this paperwork and getting all these things done, and I don't do computers. So I'm sticking with my caregiver people, and that's what happened in the next 4 or 5 years. So now I get another letter that I can get this voucher through the state of Illinois. So I have it registered and pay over $5 because it's gone up, you know, for a, something to over $5.
No, so I
send a letter off to the state of Illinois, and then I call about 2 weeks later, haven't received it in the mail because I have only so many days. to put this into writing. Okay, so I still haven't gotten it, and it's been over 2 weeks. Oh, well, it's going to take that long for it to get back to you, and then, you know, you return it back to us in Springfield. Well, besides from that, the birth certificate copy, I asked and checked, not with the place at St. Joseph's Round Lake, because I haven't called them once in all these weeks or whatever.
Did you get the birth certificate? You drive me crazy,
well,
Ruth.
It's a copy.
All right.
It's a copy, and they won't take it. Won't take the copy.
Yeah, they want it notarized.
They want the original.
Yeah, right, exactly. So
No, they didn't say anything about notarized. They said about original.
Yeah, but original, it's going to be stamped. That's the whole point. An original, they stamp it and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Now, were you born in Cook County?
Yes.
Okay. They're very good.
In the city of Chicago, where the hospital is still there.
Right. Well, the hospital won't have it. But the county, the county
will
have it.
They have records.
Yeah, but the county will have it. And you should be able to do this by mail.
Wait a minute. You're telling me the county, Cook County, is going to do it? You're not talking about the city of Chicago?
I am talking about the county.
Like the county board?
Well, no. It's Illinois Vital Records. Basically.
So where is it located at?
And
county board where?
I'm trying to think, because I had pulled one from Chicago years ago when I was still doing astrology charts, and I still have it. It was Pat Sajak's birth certificate. But in any event, it was easy to get. And yes, you can do all these things online.
Well, I've been told by other people, let me order it for you online. And I go, well, no, I don't want anybody else doing it. I don't do it myself. So if you order it online,
Cook County Vital Records, all right, that's what you go to. And when you're online yourself or whatever, I'm online looking at it right now, and I went to Cook County government, and I've got request a birth certificate, so let me click on that. And the Cook County Clerk's Office keeps official records of births that occur in Chicago and suburban Cook County. Under state law, you may legally obtain a certified copy of, and that's what they want, by the way. They want a certified copy of your own birth certificate if of legal age and or the birth certificate of your child. Well, actually, as I'm proof, the birth certificate of anybody you damn well want, but that's another story. Court-appointed legal guardians may obtain birth certificates of the children, etc. Okay, so how to do it? You can order online, you can order by phone, you can order by mail. Now, you probably are interested in ordering by phone, all right? And we've got a toll-free number for this, and that would be 866-252-8974. And you have to know the city of birth, which is Chicago, the full name, which you know your name, your exact date of birth, and your parents' first and last names. That's all you need to know. And you got and a credit card, of course, because they're going to charge you $13.45 for processing.
Okay. Well, I've started hiring persons out of pocket. Ink consonant supplies, I got cut off of them from Medicare.
All right, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it's easy to get a birth certificate. You're making it seem like it's like climbing a Mount Vesuvius or something. It's in the Cook County Clerk's Office, period, Bureau of Vital Records, Chicago. And you can mail it there if you want or what have you. They're easy to get.
Well, that's how it got into the management's file. I thought it was St. Jude who brought it. Because I never ordered it myself. Somebody else did.
Well, they probably they probably got a copy because of where you're living. There probably are certain requirements, and you've been there a while probably.
I guess they did, but
yeah,
I didn't know it until the floodwaters.
Well, now you know it. But you can get a certified copy.
So if somebody can get it, if they can get it, and now they got it, and they won't accept it.
No, they won't, because they don't want a copy of it. They want a certified copy. So that's why you call the Cook County...
County Court, and they're going to give a
certificate.
Why don't they give a cert?
Not court. It's the Bureau of Vital Statistics is where it is.
Vital Statistics. Okay. But, okay, so all these odd things are going on. My credit card got used and declined.
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
Well, what did you do?
Hopefully
you called, made a fraud report, and they're sending you a new card with a new number.
Well, of course, and they told me it'd be here in a couple of days, but it hasn't come.
It's usually a week. They say it's 4 to 10 days.
Yeah. Yep. Menards, Carpentersville. You know how far that
is? It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter
where it is. How many weeks did you say?
No, I didn't say weeks. 4 to 10 days.
Days. Okay. All right. I just see that it's interesting how all of these things keep happening in so many circumstances.
Well, they happen to everybody.
But I have a limited income, and I'm trying to pay for out of my pocket for the incontinence supplies, which, by the way, are so incredibly expensive.
Yes, understood.
Whether the taxpayers are paying for them or you do it individually. I'm not talking about getting them from a retail store. You get them from the place that is the distributor, from the manufacturer. And boy, they've been making off a lot of money off of Medicaid on those supplies.
Well, if you have Medicaid, are you being cut off from these because they
Medicare.
Want to Medicare? Are you being cut off?
No.
Okay, so then there are ways you can do that.
It's Medicare.
Yeah. Well, so why aren't they reimbursing?
Well, I'm not sure on that one either. Right
oh, God,
now, I'm
I
trying to get
ask.
Everything. I'm trying to get through on this caregiver person. I'm trying to handle that and do that one.
Well,
so,
good news is you can get this birth certificate tomorrow. You can go in person too, but that's pretty far for you. But if you do it by phone, mail, do it online. This is not a problem.
Yeah, I could walk on water too if a miracle would happen.
No.
I could just get
all right. If this is your biggest worry, all is good. Get your birth certificate. Let us know when it arrives.
I will.
All right.
Thank you for all the information.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. Happy to. If you want one, and I know they've gotten tighter over the years about getting the certificate, so you are supposed to be the person or the parent of the person if it's a younger person. But 866-252-8974 if you want to do a phone order through VitalCheck. And the information I just asked for, as well as a credit card for $13.45, we'll get it to you. And that should hopefully not be the biggest part of your day. But speaking of credit cards, I've been telling you for 3 days about encountering fraud, and it's gotten hilarious. So now the latest, of course, like I say, they issued a new card. I don't even have it yet. I don't have the number, but already it's been compromised. And deal was is I did not realize that there were digital accounts that a merchant could place. This is a merchant I've never used before, and that they'd get the new card number. Well, they did. So, of course, I was telling you this yesterday, and I told you, gee, well, we have to replace it for a third time. But now I come to find out, no, we can't replace it for a third time until you get the second card and activate it. And then once it's activated, we can close it and replace it again. I thought to myself, I'm really glad I have multiple choices in credit cards. But so it continues. But yeah, be proactive if you're breached, and ultimately all will be well. So we'll get to we have all sorts of things about birth certificates. How about that? Shane is driving. We'll get to him in a moment. Cindy in Chicago, and Victor in Silver Spring has an update. Glad to hear it. All that and more coming up. You're more than welcome to join 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Ramblin' Rose, why you ramble, no one knows. Wild and wind blown, that's how you've grown. Who can cling to a ramblin' rose? Ramble on, ramble on. When you're rambling, days are gone. Who will love you with a when you're rambling, days are gone? Rambling Rose, rambling Rose, why? I
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Nat King Cole, 1962. Man, Capitol put out a lot of singles on him in 1962. Albums as well, probably a few dozen. But Ramblin' Rose was one of them, and it was Mike in Elmwood Park who wanted to hear it, and now he has. So, Shane is driving, taking me along for the ride, and going to talk about birth certificates. So, Shane, where are we?
We are on 94 northbound on my way to Milwaukee.
All right. So, what do you got going on?
I wanted to mention something about that birth certificate.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about. I remember when I was going to get my real ID, when I went to the DMV, they wanted like an arm and a leg, your firstborn.
Yeah.
Just to verify who you are.
Yeah.
And I had my original birth certificate with me. But the problem was, is back when I was born in 72, the stamp that was on my birth certificate was not blue. It has to be blue now.
Oh, jeez.
It was black.
Oh, geez.
So even though it was the original, they would not accept it.
Oh, geez.
I went to the Rolling Meadows courthouse.
Yeah.
To get another birth certificate, so I did go to the courthouse, like you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
But that stamp has to be blue, or they will not accept it.
That's hilarious. But what a waste of time. But yes, it was easy to get. Yeah. It might have been a pain to go there that day, but Ruth is making it seem like this is somehow unobtainable, and it doesn't get easier than this, really.
I suggest just get there as early as possible because it does get busy.
Sure.
I was there for 15, it took me 15 minutes. I don't remember how much it was. And all they did is they printed out a copy of it, and they stamped it with
right.
a blue stamp.
That's all there is to it.
That's it.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome, Raleigh. Have a good night.
You too. All right. So I'm on I-94 with Shane. That's fun. Love to ride. All right. So let's see. Cindy in Chicago got one, too. And if Cindy can do it, you can do it. So it wasn't hard, was it?
No. Skokie Courthouse, right off of Gulf Road, turn north on had to get my mother's birth certificate because the house was in trust.
Okay.
Well, not her birth certificate. You could get death certificates, birth certificate, everything.
Right, right.
It's right next to the Cook County, Cook County assessor's office.
All right. Well, she's not going to do it in person. She's either going to do it by phone or by mail. She can't get there. But I gave her the phone number. She can do it by phone.
Well, it's pretty easy.
Yes, exactly. I know. Poor Ruth.
Thank you for telling Ruth that this crap happens to everyone, and when it doesn't stop when you're old.
No, of course not. If you're breathing, you're a victim. It's that simple. So it all depends on how you react to it emotionally, and the best way is by not. Yep.
No, I mean, that's how I was when I was young. I would just tackle my mother's problems, and someone would say, "Oh, you have this problem." I said, "That problem's over now. We're on to the next one." I mean, that's how it was when I was young. But now, I don't know. I can't even get. I just depressed. I got in the shower. I take a sponge bath now half the time. I no energy to get in the shower. I'm so depressed. But my Hungarian food came out real good. I put 4 tablespoons of paprika and then mixed it with olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Good.
Potatoes, carrots, cauliflower, and all these have cauliflower for a little over $4 a head instead of $7.
Yeah, well. Yeah, we talked about that. My theory, you'd have to pay me to eat the damn stuff. But anyway, I'm glad it worked out, and I'm sorry you're depressed. And are your docs looking at maybe another medicine combo for you?
No, there's nothing more they could do for me.
Really? Well,
no, but anyhow, but the thing is, it's just if it wasn't for your show, I mean, for a lot of people, just something decent on the radio like it used to be.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I hope you're feeling better.
I mean, there's no, I'm not really depressed, just no energy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm okay. I don't know.
Well, I proclaim it. You are okay. All right. It's always good to hear from you, Cindy, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, depression can be a bitch as far as that goes. And yeah, it'd be nice if you could just take a pill. It'll all go away. It usually doesn't work quite that way. James on the South Side. Finally, for two nights, we didn't get to James. Well, we have tonight. So James, what's up?
How are you feeling? Okay, everything seems in good spirits, I suppose.
God, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I think that I thought that I was over poisoning myself, but I don't think I am. Tonight's just a killer headache on it. So, hey, I deserve this. When you eat food that's expired over 10 years from a can, you deserve this. So I'll suffer suffer stoically. So you sent me several links, and social media tricks came from slot machines?
Yeah, that is... Okay, that's how we get lured, I guess. So I should have figured, concerned how much time. I was in a line at McDonald's, and I watched this 10-year-old kid was just simply at his phone while his mother was basically ordering food.
Well, see, that's up to mom to stop it.
He even like sat down as if he was in his own place, sat down on the floor.
Well, see, mom is using the phone as a babysitter rather than being a mother, and that's unfortunate. But yeah, you do see that. So in terms of what you were talking about with regard to the casinos here, a Los Angeles jury found both Meta and Google liable for designing platforms to addict young users. $6 million in damage to a 20-year-old plaintiff who alleged that Instagram and YouTube contributed to severe depression and suicidal ideation beginning in childhood. And needless to say, the companies are appealing. But the verdict did open the question. And you've heard this in a lot of different venues how exactly does an app do that? What specific design choices transform a communication tool into something that keeps people trapped inside? Well, you know, that's an interesting angle because most of the coverage on this has been not how do they do it, but, you know, do they do it? And if they do it, are they liable and all that? But apparently, the research has been around for a while, and it starts in Las Vegas. And a cultural anthropologist from NYU spent 15 years inside the gaming industry interviewing slot machine designers and mathematicians and software engineers and executives and people who couldn't stop playing. And she wrote a book over a decade ago, actually, Addiction by Design, which is, you know, I think like now 13 years ago. And the deliberate engineering of what gamblers themselves call the machine zone, a dissociative trance-like state in which time dissolves, social awareness fades, and the only thing that exists is the next pull of a lever. You know, you say to yourself, man, if you can do that, think of all the other things you could do, because this is hard to believe that not only does this happen, but it doesn't happen by accident. It is the product goal. And, you know, casino companies know it. The most profitable gamblers weren't chasing jackpots. They were chasing the zone, the frictionless absorption that let them play for 48 hours straight. And they documented some were wearing adult diapers to avoid having to leave the machine. I don't want to know how they documented. Really, I don't. The industry optimized this state deliberately. All right, so how did they do it? Now, that's what's interesting to me. How did they do it? And there were four things that you combine for the superglue effect. One is solitude, when interaction is just between a person and a screen. One is bottomlessness, where there's no end to it, no end to TikTok, Instagram, or no natural stopping point means no sense of completion, no moment of satisfaction. You know, you never get to the screen that says, congratulations, you've come to the end of the internet. Speed is the third. The faster the feedback loop, the more completely the user merges with the device, obviously, and teasing, giving users almost what they want, but never quite. And that's the fourth most psychologically sophisticated feature of the four. And, you know, as I'm reading that, it's like, yeah, that's pretty good. And, of course, children are uniquely exposed for a number of reasons. And there's where I say, and why are the parents using these devices as a babysitter? Because Each of the features exploits tendencies that can be normal and healthy in adult psychology. But in children, they're exaggerated. So solitude removes the social scaffolding that helps adult regulate behavior. Bottomlessness defeats developing impulse control. Speed overwhelms executive function, and on and on. And so these are not normal for kids, however. And so this is fascinating to me. So now what I see coming next, and you know, if you want more, you can read the book because there's a lot in it. But what I see coming next is the argument with, okay, it's doing this, but are the apps to blame or are the parents to blame? Because again, you're going to McDonald's and seeing a kid who's addicted to his phone and mom's just ignoring him.
Yeah, and actually, let's put it this way, as far as the addiction to phone apps and stuff like that, okay, there was a Star Trek Next Generation episode that you might say could have, say, predicted this. The episode involved Riker, the second in command, brings this game aboard. It's like a game where it's like a little bit to follow this, where the ball goes from one vessel to another in your this visual thing, and you get to, and it goes to different levels of it, and then it starts becoming an addictive thing across the whole crew. To where our people basically glued to, and they forget, and they essentially become okay. They become the only one who realizes this is happens to be. And this is in the early season. I think it was the second season of it, where it was Wesley Crusher played by Will Wheaton. Him and this other young basically noticed that they are all like the dopamine levels have gone straight through the roof. And nobody, in fact, the only other person not affected, and of course, there's also another, is of course Data, but then they made certain that Data would not catch on. They partially disassembled him.
Yeah, it's interesting, of course. We were talking last night about many of the things the Star Trek quote-unquote predicted, and it is interesting to note. But what we're really talking here is our known phenomena. The question now is, can they prove that Meta et al. Are actually using this as an endgame? Or, I won't say it's an accident, but is it a side effect that wasn't the main goal? I don't know how they'll do that in court, but it's not going to be over soon. But I still say, parents, do not use these devices as your babysitter.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot better things like a library.
Yeah, that would help. Yeah, and like I've mentioned before, I've seen 2-year-olds trying to swipe a magazine. One of them said to their parent, "It's broken." No, they're thinking all it is a screen. So yeah, absolutely. And interesting stuff. I loved that link, and you had other links as well. Yes, like Lyndon B. Johnson wanting to conduct his meetings in the bathroom. Nothing surprising there for him, is it? All right, and on and on. It is. And chess can drive you crazy. We'll talk about that next time. But thank you, James. Okay. All wonderful stuff. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a nice weekend.
All right, you too.
Okay, your family have a nice, we can't say Mother's Day.
I think, is that this weekend or next weekend?
This
weekend. Whoa, early. Okay. See, what do I know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. Okay, thanks, appreciate it. So,
okay,
you too, there you go. We'll get to Victor with the update, the healing Victor, and David in Muskegon, but there is room for you at 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. James also had a good story about a tow truck driver and a moose. We'll be discussing that as well, and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Malo, Suavecito, which actually peaked on the charts this day. Hard to believe. It only got to number 18 on the pop charts. As far as I'm concerned, it was the best record in 1972. Reason I played it wasn't because it peaked on the charts today, but that was a happy birthday present for Aurelio Garcia. Most people, when they think about Malo, think about Jorge Santana, who was Carlos's brother and was in the group. But the lead singer of Malo was Aurelio Garcia, who would have turned 80 today, born in 1946 in Puerto Rico, moved to the Mission District in San Francisco, and the rest was history. All right, so I believe, let's see, we've got a moment or so to get in here before the news, and we'll start with David in Muskegon. All right, David, it's your minute. All right. Well, we lost David. All right. Well, that's the end of that. After the news, we'll get to Fran in Austin, Victor in Silver Spring for his update, Chuck in Rockford, a little road rage. Yeah, always a fine way to start your day, and more. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and we have 2 more hours to talk about it and play your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
Somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Yeah, I wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yes, I do. Why won't somebody come and ease my troubling mind? Yeah, I sure wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yes, I do. Wish my baby would come and tell me everything's alright. Yeah, I sure wish my baby would come and tell me everything is still alright. Oh yes, I do. They tell me when you tell somebody your troubles, trouble fly away from you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was a flip side in 1965 posthumous release, RCA, Sam Cooke. It was also on the album Shake, which also came out in 65. And, yeah, somebody ease my trouble in mind. The A-side was It's Got the Whole World Shaking. And Sam Cooke wrote it, and it was Johnny Goen, who has soulofthecity.net on Sunday nights from 6 to midnight Central Time. If you're into obscure soul, and not only obscure, but good soul, we'll just leave it at that. Then that's the place. And if you use an aggregator, remember it's HoustonRadioPlatinum.com. All right, so we have Fran, and Fran is in Austin. So, Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Roy. Well, speaking of Johnny's show.
Yeah.
I wanted, I'm sure you've probably heard of Pepe Marquez.
Yeah.
And he's got something called Old School Medley, and it has, it's very well done. And, Suavecito kind of reminded me
yeah.
of that's in that.
Right.
And so I wanted to request that.
Okay. I will
and
do that.
I also want to request the Uniques not too long
oh,
ago.
Oh, yeah, my favorite Unique song.
I didn't know if they had any others. I've never heard of it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Uniques was Joe Stampley. And in fact, while I was working at Epic, Joe Stampley was on the label. And one time he had said, "Can I do anything for you?" I said, "Yeah, you can re-record Not Too Long Ago." And next thing I know, it was a B-side.
All right.
I have it by Joe Stampley as well. But no, the Uniques, so all these things, that was pretty big for them. But they were, you know, as far as Louisiana, they were a big deal. But on Paula and stuff like that. So they were around. And, you know, how many did they release? Well, that's an interesting question. They had albums, believe it or not, and all the stuff on Paula and stuff like that. But Not Too Long Ago was their second release. And I think it might have been the first release on Paula, actually. And it was my favorite. But All These Things was probably, it was a ballad in 66, is probably the one most people know. But they did, I'd say, at least a dozen Paula releases.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's one of those things where I heard the song and I'd know it if I heard it, but I didn't know who did it.
Yeah,
that happens a lot.
Probably. But yeah, I just loved Not Too Long Ago. So yeah, you don't have to twist my arm on that, that's for sure.
And one more, I'm not going to request a million songs, but playing Suavecito tonight reminded me of one of my favorites, La Mucho Que Te Quiero.
Oh, sure, Renee.
Yes, I love that. That is so pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'll do all three of them.
Okay. Oh, did you have a minute?
Because
I was going to talk. Okay. You were talking earlier about, you know, being addicted to cell phones and screens and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember before that everybody was saying the same thing about TVs. You know, they'd park their kids in front of the TV and they, you know, wouldn't. But it's so much worse than that. I mean, even the parents are doing the same thing, so
right.
Why not the kids? And the you know, that story about the magazine always blows my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids swiping the
swiping
magazine.
Yeah, it's broken.
Work.
It's broken. Yeah, exactly.
It's broken. Yeah.
But you're right. You'll see a family at dinner, there's four people and there's four cell phones and they're not at all even looking at each other. And I don't get it myself. I don't understand. Of course, you know, I don't use a cell phone, but I use a computer all the time. But when I say all the time, it's invariably used for work. It should be used for email because no matter what, I'm thousands behind. But
I know how that is. But,
yeah.
You know, and I know people, I get so upset. I go, like one time we were going out to lunch with this woman, and all of a sudden, you know, she's not listening to a thing we're saying.
Right. Right, she's
and
on her phone.
You know, but she's got her phone. And the next thing I know, you know, here we are at a seafood restaurant, and she's telling us all about the poisoned shrimp in the Gulf and all that. I'm like,
yeah.
Lucy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that, you know.
You know, I mean, it's bad enough that, when I like my iPhone. I won't deny that, but I don't spend a lot of time on social media. I was kind of a little bit too much Facebook for a while, and I just said, forget it. I'm tired of this. But I wanted to keep up with some of my friends from California, and I thought, well, I guess I can just find out their phone numbers. You know, but who calls anybody anymore?
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, God. But I think it's bad. I could see myself when I was younger, if I could access these things, possibly getting into something like that, because I was kind of a loner.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah, when there's nothing else to do, of course. You know, there you are in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You're too young to drive. You can't
go
out at night. So sure, I can see it as a kid. I'm not sure I fully understand the addictive nature, but I will say John is on the cell phone more often than not, and it's never social media. He plays pool and bowls. Yes, bowling on a cell phone. Why not?
We play these games on Dice. They're called, it's an app called Dice World. And we play those, and we play music, and, you know, just different things like that. But, you know, the kids, I remember I got bullied in school, but when I came home and locked my door, it was done.
Right. Of course.
You know, I was home. I was in my safe place. Now they go home, they get on social media, and, you know, people are killing themselves over, you know, and because if you're hiding behind a screen so you can just say anything you want because nobody's going to, you know.
Sure.
You can hide behind a screen. So the bullies just, you know, they eat that up.
Sure they do. No, absolutely. And as we've talked before, the worst part is on social media is it is your permanent record. The teachers used to tell you to be on your permanent record. There was none. Well, now there is. And the bottom line is that kids, a rite of passage is trying on different identities and all that. And
sure.
But that's going to follow you.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I cringe at the thought of, oh, my God, if that was enshrined. Sure. But but it is. So as I say repeatedly, we are at a point in history sociologically that we've never been. And we don't know what the fallout is.
Yeah, and we don't have any common ground anymore. I think we've talked a lot about that. Not only, you know, like when I would go to school, even with TV, you know, like everybody was into Laugh-In. And so, you know, I'd go to school the next day after Laugh-In was on, and everybody was doing, sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me, and it's sock it to me time, and, you know, and, want a Walnetto, you know, and all these great, you know, and we listened to a lot of the same music. I mean, you had your kids that like country and your kids that like oldies and, you know, everything in between, and...
But I'll tell you something. That was a very brief period of time. I've thought of this so often with regard to radio because, of course, for over 25 years, it was a completely shared experience for teens. Every teen was listening to the same Night Guy and all that. But if you think about it, prior to the 50s, really, and if you want to be even go further prior to the advent of radio, but prior to the 50s, it wasn't a shared experience. That was relatively new, and it was totally wonderful, but that never occurred before, and it's gone now.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought about it in terms of radio, but it was also true in terms of TV, and that went later because, you know, some of us were still watching some of the same shows in the 80s. Now you can watch what you want, when you want, and... You know, who knows, whatever. I'm totally out of it when it comes to that because there's not... I like anything, I like old shows. I do like Law and Order, but, you know, a couple of things. But I watch a little bit of it, and that's it. My mother had the TV on 24/7. It drove me crazy when I went out there to visit her. I said, you know, like, Mom, can we talk? I came out to see you, not watch TV.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, but everybody's feeling isolated, and it's understandable because they're all behind screens.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything, you know, there's no common TV shows, there's no common radio, there's no common music.
But like I say, before this period of time, there wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, society, but they're also at that point in time, you know, everybody would get together and go to a live performance of something or something of that nature. You know, it was more communal, if you will, than shared. And
the books I read, a lot of, you know, the older books, people talked more. It was all about dialogue where they were out doing things more, you know. So maybe they didn't have the common ground of radio or whatever, but they, you know, they engaged more with each other, it seems to me, just by, well, even by my experience as a kid, but when I read, you know, books that were written, you know, older books, I read a lot of those, and, you know, it's just interesting that people were much more into conversing and reading and, you know.
Well, anybody who wants to dispute that need only look at the cell phone deals. It's all unlimited calling, no matter what. They might squelch your data within an inch of your life, but unlimited calling. Well, why do they do that? Because no one's calling. It's something they can offer that doesn't cost them a thing. So that's probably the most telling thing ever I hear. Unlimited calling. Yeah, right, because nobody is.
I know, it drives me crazy. I've got this friend that's younger than me that loves to get into these long text loops, and I'm thinking, okay, why don't you just call me?
Right.
If you want to talk to me that badly, why don't you just call me? You know?
Yeah, I am so texting adverse because, for one thing, in any business sense, it's very hard to archive texts as a legal record. You know, with email, of course, it's very easy to do that, but with text, not
right.
so much. It's designed to go away. But if you're conversing in a business sense, the one thing you want is it not to go away. And so,
until you've got a record of what they said, and
I understand how to do it, but the point is, it's not straightforward and it's not easy, and not like email. And it drives me crazy. So it's one of the reasons why I steadfastly will not own a cell phone.
Yeah, I mean, I will text like if I'm saying I'm going to be there in half an hour.
Yeah,
you know, or something like that. But
convenience. And I understand. I understand that, and I also understand that if you're, if you're dealing financially or whatever, more often than not, it says reply to the text. Well, if you don't have a text, you're not replying to it, and it becomes a pain. So I get that, but I'm still the lone holdout.
Well, good for you. If it weren't for the fact that there's so much we can do on the iPhones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the various apps that we have and everything, because I was resistant for a long time. I said, I don't want anything that doesn't have buttons.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have a button, I don't want a damn touch screen.
Yeah.
You know, and I got converted. But
yeah, well, and I can see that. Well, it'll be interesting to watch. And as I say, all the people who are talking about where it'll wind up, it really needs to come back to parental guidance. And I'm positive that that's exactly what the big entities are going to use as their defense.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of parents around here that are like trying to limit their kids' screen time, but. All you have to do is tell a kid that you don't want him to do it, and that's exactly.
Oh, guaranteed he'll do it. But if you are there to police it, you've got a lot more clout. The problem is that many of them are not there. It's very easy to make the phone the babysitter.
My mom was ahead of her time in a lot of ways because I could watch what I wanted, I could read what I wanted, but she would talk to me about it.
That's interesting.
It was like. Within reason. I remember one time she came out in the middle of the night, and I was watching, of all things, Lolita.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, my mother said, you know, what did you think of that? And I said, that guy's a creep. I wouldn't.
That's so funny. A friend of mine played that part. She's no longer alive. Actually, she's a friend because she was married to a friend of mine. But, she played that part. And believe me, it screwed up her life forevermore.
Oh, I can believe it. I definitely can. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but, you know, that was the kind of thing I didn't, you know, she didn't censor really what I watched or listened to, and you know, she didn't worry about language and that kind of thing, except that I wasn't supposed to use it.
Right.
But, you know, she says, these things are in the world, and, you know, I can't keep you in a bubble.
Yeah.
Of course, in so many ways, she did try to keep me in a bubble.
Well, right, of course. But at least not for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, but even though I could do what I wanted to do, pretty much she was monitoring what I was doing, even when I didn't think she was.
Right. And that's the way it should be. So that's why it'll be interesting.
And we would talk about it and stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, and she was, she worked a lot, and so, you know, it was kind of, a lot of people say, well, I work too much, I don't have time to, you know, do this and that and the other thing. No, I had my grandmother. I stayed with her a lot, and boy, did I get mixed messages because she was very strict about
everything. Oh, man, I can only imagine. And we've just blown the news once again. So,
oh, shoot.
Talk to you soon. Okay.
I get to talking with you, and I lose track of
time. Yeah, me too, and I'm supposed to be watching that. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, so speaking of that, here's this on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Herbie Hancock. Yeah, I thought it was you. Actually, it was a single on Columbia in 1978, part of an album, too. And that was Isaac who wanted to hear that on the South Side. And he had two or three requests, and he'll hear all of them tonight should he be listening. He had Herbie Hancock, and he had Bill Withers and Ernestine Anderson. So there you go, Isaac. Hope you're hearing him. All right, so 888-876-5593. And we're back to Fran, I think. Or did we? Well, actually, I think we finished talking to Fran, and I really appreciate that call. So let's see. Victor has an update for us in Silver Spring. All right, Victor, how are you feeling? Well, I guess we don't know. We lost Victor. Hopefully he's napping or sleeping or something like that, and hopefully he's doing very well. All right, so Brian is in Seneca. Welcome to WGN Radio. Oh, no, this is not good. I say this like, oh, no, I couldn't have lost everybody. Well, I could have, actually, but what worries me when that happens is, did I just lose the phone system? We'll find out. Robert is in LaGrange. Are you there, Robert? Uh-oh. I do not want this to be happening. That's all I can tell you. Now, let's see. So, Eduardo hangs on for dear life. So, Eduardo, are you still there? Not a chance. All right, well, let's try Chuck in Rockford. Chuck, are you with me? Oh, hey, Chuck hung up, but at least I heard something. All right, so I don't know. If you want to call back, that's just great. Otherwise, what I'll probably do is just talk to myself. And at some point, I'll reboot the phone system, if that is the problem. But yeah, I know that I can ramble on and maybe be a little more than you're expecting as far as long-winded, but usually not everybody hangs up at the same time. So yeah, hello. So that tells me that maybe it's the phone system, especially since none of you are calling back. Of course, it could be me. We'll try and find that out. So, but if you want to try, if you want to have mercy on your host here, try 888-876-5593, and we'll see if it rings. And if you get, well, you won't get voicemail, but if we don't answer, it's because it didn't ring, and I'll see what I can do about that. Yes, I am in no mood for this, to say the least. I have a headache. I've had a headache all day. And I deserve it. You know, I still say, eat food that's 10 years out of date on the can. You can probably expect you're not going to feel too good for a while, and I'm living proof. All right, so what else do we have here? Yeah, articles on the rise and fall of drive-in theaters, and actually that to me shouldn't be an article. All that means is, hey, the land became worth something. You know, it used to be it was way out of town. Yeah, right, then it became, close in suburbs, and that was it. But while they were on the rise, it was fascinating. Because in some places it was just lovely. In other places, the weather was not conducive toward this. Or in parts of the South, mosquitoes the size of your head. And so it was that a lot of these places would come up with everything, so you could roll your windows up, including that wonderful in-car air conditioning, which I always wondered, am I going to be asphyxiated with this stuff? I never was, but it didn't really keep all the mosquitoes away. Either. And after World War II, it really caught on. And it was going long before that, as long as there were cars and movies. But it was the late 50s when drive-ins peaked. And over 4,000 locations. And I love all-weather drive-in. Yeah, and that there are different ways they tried to do that. I think what helped more than anything else when they finally got usually FM transmitters, so you could listen to the audio on your radio rather than have to have that big old honking speaker there hanging on the side of the window. But it was the end was coming as the 70s were coming as well, because in the 70s, like I say, the bottom line, you know, a lot of people will say, well, it was the proliferation of color TV, and then later in the 70s it was VCRs. No, it was location, location, location. The land was worth so much more than its ultimate use as a drive-in theater. Of course, that court case that we opened the show with at Tampa concluded that the ultimate use for some land that the Department of Transportation was eminent domaining was actually as a strip club, but I digress. Today, less than 300 drive-ins, and, you know, part of that is the fact that the land is too expensive. You know, you're having to go further and further out. But the other part of it is that the equipment changed. And, you know, getting yourself ready to be a drive-in with today's, you know, today's movies can be $1 million. And a while ago, I guess about 10 years ago now, they had that contest that someone not too far from Chicago won to retrofit his location. But I'm pretty sure it was close to $1 million. So between what it would cost to stay in business and what you'd get if you sold it, that made a lot of sense. And so there you have that. But yeah, there were a lot of people who made a lot of money because they owned drive-in theaters, and the land became worth a fortune. Gordon McLennan's father, Barton, who was a sometime actor, was one of those people in Dallas, owned a lot of drive-ins, and that land was absolutely expensive. And you're seeing that with AM, as we talk about so often when an AM station goes off the air, especially if it was directional and there's multi-towers involved, the land's worth more than the station was, so easy to sign it off. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. I'm pretty sure that somebody is trying to call and isn't getting anywhere. So I'm going to right now be brave and reboot the entire phone system. And we'll find out how it goes after this on WGN Radio. Because you got all of Ernestine Anderson. What can I tell you? Never make your move too soon. And I hope Isaac enjoyed it because he wanted to hear it. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I'm talking to myself. Actually, that's not true. Hopefully, I'm talking to you. But I've Rebooted the hybrid, which is half of the equation here in getting your calls on the air. The other is the ATA and analog telephone adapter. And that, for whatever reason, has gone south as well. Both did. And, you know, I didn't take an internet hit. I didn't take a power hit. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on. But it is going on. And it takes a few minutes for the ATA to come back to life. But hopefully it will. But, you know, I'm here because I can talk to myself, and so we will. And we thank two people, James, of course, for some wonderful links, and, of course, Bob, Engineer Bob, who sends me copious amounts of links that are just great. Like 11 pork myths people actually still believe. Yeah, I always say it's nature's perfect food myself. But the one that surprised me on the myth that that things are not true, that people believe, was pork is a white meat. And I thought, now, wait a minute. The pork council or whoever they were, the pork growers, I don't know, whatever that organization is called, did commercials for years and years about pork being the other white meat. Well, and that was before that, we all considered it to be a red meat, and the systematic marketing campaign recategorized it as a white meat, and well, it was lighter in appearance and leaner and than more traditional red meats like beef, and so the campaign fooled me. Pork is a white meat. Nope. The USDA says no. Pork is a red meat. Dietitians agree. And to understand why this is the case, one needs to consider the basis for the categorization, which is not color. Meat classification primarily depends on the amount of myoglobin found in an animal's muscle. Red meat, such as beef or lamb or veal, have higher levels of myoglobin. The protein turns red on exposure to oxygen. Poultry and fish have significantly lower levels of myoglobin, and therefore they're considered white meats. Okay, so here's pork, and it's got higher levels of myoglobin. So that makes it a red meat. Certain cuts of pork have less myoglobin than other red meats, which gives some credence to the white meat argument, but for the most part, it's false. But it was a great advertising campaign, and I believed it. But yes, a number of pork is very maligned, and I realize that for people who are Muslim or who are Jewish, there's religious doctrine that will tell them it's not okay to eat, and that's a different thing. If that's your belief, so be it. And I wouldn't try to change Leviticus's thoughts that it was inherently dirty, but yeah, there's misquoting the Bible for you. Assuming that you don't have religious proclivities that stop you from eating pork, it's actually not bad for your health. It's actually quite good as far as that goes. It is a genuinely good source of nutrients, including protein. It's nearly as lean as chicken breast, which receives less criticism for its nutritional value, that's for sure. 100 grams of cooked ground pork have 297 calories, 25.7 grams of protein, and 20.8 grams of fat. So good source of B6, B12, and minerals, iron and phosphorus and selenium and thiamine. And so that's the deal. Now, of course, when we say good for you, we're talking about minimally processed pork, not necessarily the good stuff, the cured stuff. But the bottom line is the high-quality protein is actually good for you. Yeah, pigs are dirty, and therefore pork is not safe to eat. All right, well, again, not trying to cross biblical notions by any means, but the perception is more reputation than religion. And in the past, of course, the biggest problem with pork was it caused trichinosis, which could kill you, and coming from a parasitic roundworm. But that's been eliminated, for the most part, virtually eliminated from the commercial supply of pork. They've got a lot of enforcement of regulations and rigorous inspections, and commercial pork literally is parasitic free as far as that goes. So the risk is considered negligible, and that's good to know. Now, of course, that's why some people said you have to cook it till it's burned, and that's not true either. And then what I found interesting is the notion that that pork is factory farmed. You would think that. Well, how about this? 96% of all hog farms in the United States are family farms, not factories. And okay, the size of the individual farms may vary, Any owner of a family hog farm, regardless of size, would take great offense at their operation being labeled a factory farm. And it's if it's family run, it's a family farm, regardless of scale, and 96% of them are. So there. And that's an important distinction in a lot of people's mind. The idea that it's hard to cook, well, for some of us, it's hard to cook no matter what it is. But you don't need to overcook it, and so on and so forth. So I will spend the minutes that we have during the news to try and figure out what's gone on with the ATA and what's gone on with the hybrid and see if we can get calls. Otherwise, it's going to be an hour-long monologue next hour, and I'll sure earn my money. All right, well, hopefully I'll hear from you coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll have a bumper in a second, but here's the deal. If you want to call, you're going to have to call WGN, and Adam is kind enough that he will go ahead and answer the phone, and he'll let John know who's calling, and he'll be there to navigate this. My problem is huge at this point. It's not my equipment. I always hope it is because I've got duplicates of everything. And my redundancy is renowned, but it's not. It's my provider's issue. And I was going to go ahead and try to troubleshoot this during the news, but I can't even access the website. So their whole system is down, which means that I'm down. And they're absolutely great. Normally, they're tremendous. So I assume whatever has happened is catastrophic, and we're just going to go there and wish them the best. And when I'm off the air, I'll try and figure out, make a way of finding out what the deal is. But we had another one of Isaac's requests, so that'll be our bumper right now. Bill Withers. Raleigh James, it's a monologue, but if you want to call, Adam is kind enough to be taking calls while I try to figure out what happened to my provider. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, so that's the deal there. Now, I hope you will. And John actually is, we're doing it by flashcards. John actually is bringing me people, so we will talk in moments. But in the meantime, Bill Withers' song was Isaac's Request, and that's 1976. It's from an album on Columbia, and it is on the Naked and Warm album. So City of the Angels. Okay, hope you heard it. All right, so now, as I was saying, we've got Brian and Seneca, and welcome to WGN, Brian.
Now she don't love me anymore. used to walk with me beneath the tall oak tree. She had me thinking how happy we would be. And then he came along like the devil in disguise, not too long ago. Now I've got tears in my eyes. Long ago. Now she don't love me anymore. She said she'd always be my girl. She said her love would never die. She said she'd always be my girl. Then she left with a hymn, left my heart to cry. Now I'm so lonely, heartbroken and blue. I don't have no one that I can talk to. He came and took her away from me not too long ago.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm so glad that Fran requested it. What a wonderful song. Yeah, the Unique Son Paula in 1965, not too long ago. I remember when WFUN hired Mikey Harvey, the giant purple-eyed rabbit. He played it, and he was their music director. And I thought, oh, this is just heaven. Now, of course, the competition thought so, too, because, of course, these weren't hits. But they were just the absolute best, and I did love them. Mike later went on and did Super Gold for years on satellite, and I think he is retired now. All right, so let's see what we're doing here. We will be talking to Johnny here in a moment, but Eduardo called back, so let's find out what's up, Eduardo.
Jaws, Cocaine, Chaos, plus / Happy Scare, and The Wind Beneath My Zings. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Shark shock, Bahamian blue water goes bonkers. Researchers say sharks tested positive for cocaine, caffeine, painkillers, and more. 23 of 82 carried contaminants with altered blood chemistry to boot. From party powders to pill-popping pollution, the oceans turned into a chemical cocktail. Call it Reefside Madness, where even the fin fellas look like they're riding a very bad vending machine and the menu keeps changing. Harlem knife havoc, midnight market mayhem. New York police say a knife-waving man menaced merchants, spooked shoppers, and sparked sidewalk scares outside an East Harlem grocery store. When officers arrived, the blade brandishing belligerent bolted, then turned and charged, forcing a fast fatal firearm response. Call it Bodega Bedlam, where a grocery grab turned terror trip proves when chaos cuts loose, consequences come quick, and checkout can cost you everything. The War of Winds. Inherent the Wind, a scintillating scientific study about whose flatulence is more scently scandalous, men or women. The pulled finger points at gals, citing much stronger stench per clench, but the guys are more of a blast with fuller force and fury. Against the Wind reporting, some media wits turning up their noses at the Washington Post, which breathlessly broke the back-end bulletin. You don't need a methane man to know which way the wind blows. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.